A little happy birthday to Chipper from Stevie Wonder. How about that? We have Stevie Wonder come here in studio and sing happy Dave's writing number for me. 85th birthday for Chip Scoggins. You sound and look so much younger than 85.
Well, I feel 85 today. I went to visit my daughter in Chicago, and I came back. Well, I guess I took a cold with me to Chicago, and I came back very under the weather.
Oh, sorry about that.
So, yeah, so being feeling crummy on your birthday is not the best, but no. I appreciate it, and I am slightly younger than 85.
Can I guess? I'm going to guess. Dave, let's guess. I'm going 56. Dave Harrigan, what's your
that
guess?
That was the number I had, so Price is Right rules. I'll go 57.
Lower.
24. 54.
Close, 53.
53.
Wow.
You should feel insulted by us.
You look terrible for 53 is what we're saying.
Yeah. I mean, did not.
I did go I did feel old because I went and did an interview for my upcoming football across Minnesota column, and an assistant coach from a high school came over. He's like, I've been reading you since I was a kid. I'm like, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Can you think of the best birthday of your life? Is there one for some circumstance really stands out?
Boy, oh boy. None that really, I mean, obviously your 18th and 21st stand out, and then they all kind of, you lose interest after a while, right? Like, at what point do you get to, where you get to, it's just like, it's another day. Like, today I'm sitting here writing football across Minnesota. Like, I forgot it's my birthday. I don't know, nothing like milestone or anything, you know, magnificent, other than just feeling the love that you get on Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook should be created just for your birthday, right?
Yeah, probably should be.
You get so many messages there. There's so much nonsense on Facebook and social media, but on your birthday, it is kind of nice. But nothing. I can't really pinpoint one as being extravagant.
Okay,
I'm a simple man. Chad.
You're a simple man. Okay, you and the bride. Do you have plans tonight?
We don't. Part of it's because my Mondays are very busy.
Yeah.
But also, we went and saw our daughter in Chicago over the weekend and kind of treated that as a birthday getaway, which is fabulous. And I saw you tweet this many months ago that I know it's not technically summer, but it sort of felt like it. There's few cities in America or the world better than Chicago in the summer.
Yes.
You're right.
Thank you.
It is. I live there. My wife and I lived there for 2 years before I moved here. And we did it wrong. We lived in the suburbs. Now, my daughter lives in that trendy, cool area around, you know, Northside, Wrigley, Lincoln Park. Holy
cow. There's stuff going on there.
Oh, my goodness, did I do it wrong. Just fabulous. The energy that city has on a beautiful weekend day is incredible.
It's now Harrigan here. You want to try to explain your bizarre comparison with Minneapolis and Chicago? Because it's wrong, just to prepare you, Chip. But go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's not necessarily a comparison. It's just to say that I feel Chad saying Chicago is this amazing summer town. And I agree it is.
Thank you.
But I believe Minneapolis is its equal as being a wonderful summer town.
Minneapolis is a very fun, nice summer town. It does not compare with Chicago.
We got a lot of good lakes. They've only got one great one. Enjoy your time with the waves smacking in the face while you try to go out swimming.
I hate to break the news to you. They do have a couple other lakes.
That's it.
They have a couple. Okay. When you were with, so it's the three of you, what are you doing in Chicago to a little bit of celebrating your birthday, but most importantly, mom and dad seeing their child?
Yeah, so we got to see her new apartment, which was she moved into after a year. She found a new one with three of her sorority sisters in a great neighborhood, which is just outstanding. And then she made we went to a very classy Italian restaurant. I wish I could remember the name. That was just outstanding on Friday night.
Olive Garden?
The breadsticks, yeah. and then we took a water taxi On Saturday morning, went and had lunch in Chinatown, which was great. I'd never been there, even though I'd lived there. And then, as young kids are want to do, they had a Halloween thing she did with her friend Saturday night. So
yeah.
She pretty much cut us off at around 4 yeah. o'clock on Saturday. That was it. Like, business over. So my wife and I went and got a deep dish pizza.
Oh,
Saturday
oh
night.
My God. I mean, seriously. Well, are you done. Kidding me? You're one of the greatest people ever. I'm so happy to have you on the show. Happy calling your friend.
Is this it, man.
I mean, the bad. Go just have some bad lasagna, okay? Honestly, it's just disgusting deep dish pizza. Okay, let's go to the Bears here since you're in Chicago.
Yeah.
To me, it's not even close. The most memorable play of the weekend. And it's not just because Jayden Daniels, ASU's own, of course, he left and then won the Heisman Trophy at LSU. Another great moment for ASU football that he stays back there and completes the Hail Mary to win the game. But let me go again. Let me make sure. Is it Tyreek Stevenson? Okay.
Stevenson, yeah.
He's number 29, right? He is barely in bounds. He is just while Daniels is floating and just trying to stay alive to get his wide receivers in the end zone, just to fling it as far as he did. Stevenson is just taunting Commander fans, and then at the end he kind of jogs back to the middle and may have been the guy to deflect it to the Commander's wide receiver, and they win a game. I am the Bears organizationship, I don't let him in the locker room. He can helmet on or off. He can walk out. He can climb into the stands. He can walk out that way. I don't care what apology. I'm not known for my patience. I would have shown it right there. If I was Papa Bear Hallis would have rose from his grave and kicked him in the groin and said, "You're not coming in the locker room." What a knucklehead.
Well, one of the all-time great blunders by an athlete.
Yes.
When you look at the way he was gesturing to the crowd and posing and doing all this, the play has already started.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I saw that he put an apology out on Twitter last night. Does he do that if there's not video of him?
Nope.
No chance.
No chance. No exactly chance. Right.
That is damage control. He's embarrassed. It'll be interesting to see how he is received in the locker room. Now, players tend to rally around each other, but that you have a lot to come back from when you're doing that, when you're showboating and taunting the crowd in a play's go. It's not like he was doing it and then got lined up and the play happened. This is while the play was going on,
exactly.
And then he has to run over. And then he was the one that tipped it, too, right?
I believe
I saw.
Correct. Minor point.
So I can't even imagine his embarrassment when he saw that in video. I hope he was embarrassed. It was a all-timer.
Okay, here's one more embarrassed, and then we're going to come back and talk Gopher football and the World Series. Vikings going to play Anthony Richardson and the Colts Sunday. Is he at a pitch count? I mean, how many plays does Anthony Richardson plan on playing? I've never watched this before. By the way, he's a kid. What is Anthony Richardson, 22, 23? He took himself out of the game for a play because he was tuckered, because he was tired. You're watching the game and you're thinking, well, is he injured again? Because he's been injured a bunch. Here comes Flacco.
Yeah.
No, he was tired. How do you think that's playing in the locker room?
I think I might have made up something.
Yes.
I pulled a hammy. Something. I don't think I would have said I was tired. I needed a blow there for that play. Yeah, that's. Everybody on that field's tired and exhausted.
Right.
For the quarterback to say that when everybody's looking to you, for anybody really, but for the quarterback to say that, I'm sure there probably were some eye rolls and like, hey man, everybody's tired, you know, but we have to fight through it. So that was not a good look either, but I still think it pales in comparison to taunting the crowd.
Yes, I do too.
While a play is going on.
The Gophers have their best throwing quarterback since when? Let's discuss that with Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune on his birthday. So kind of him to join us on his birthday when he's not feeling great. Back with Chipper in seconds on CCO. I heard Pete and Dave discussing this yesterday. You've covered this team right from where you came here, left Chicago, and you also know the history of this program. When we're talking just a throwing quarterback, not a runner, not a combo player,
yeah,
but just as a thrower, how far back do we go where we have a Gopher quarterback who's a better thrower than the guy who's quarterback right now?
Yeah, it's I thought Adam Weber had a lot of arm talent. Now, his career was so impacted by the shuffling of offense coordinators. I think he had five different offense coordinators or something.
Right.
Basically one every year. I thought Brian Cupido turned into a really good college quarterback by his senior year. He left as the all-time leading passer. But this guy, Max Brosmer, I didn't really know what to expect because he was coming from the FCS level, and it's just hard to know how that's going to translate. But I think you have to credit PJ and his offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, for looking at his video and looking past the fact that he was playing at New Hampshire against lesser competition and mm-hmm. saying, this will translate to the Big Ten because what we see, we like, and they picked the right guy. I mean, this guy, I think Brosmer's two best attributes are his ability to process what's happening very quickly on the field, come off his reads, go through his reads, and then also his accuracy. Look at where he's placing the ball. I mean, he's not – not only is he not throwing interceptions, he's not – he's giving his receivers a chance to make plays, and the balls are at their feet. They're not behind them. He's putting them on their body in position where they can make plays. The thing that he has done is they've changed their identity.
Yes, I mean, they have.
They really don't, they don't run the ball well at all. I mean, I looked at the score on my phone the other day when we were walking around Chicago. It was like 28-0 or 24, whatever the score was, and they had -8 yards rushing.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you written it? How many times have the two of us discussed,
yes,
will he ever change? And I think we did it opening day, and I sat here and told you I don't think he would, and I think you said, well, I'm going to be open-minded, but he'll go back to it. And I wondered early, but I just want to emphasize the accuracy. And clearly the one 2019 Tanner Morgan had that. And you're right in Weber. He's the one for me, even more than Cupido, where if Weber could have the same guy, I wonder. Yeah. Brosmer fits it in windows that most Gopher quarterbacks the last 30, 40 years, they just couldn't do on a regular basis. And he's doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I looked this stat up this morning, Chad, because 2019 was, you know, the great year offense. They put up a lot of points. And, you know, you had Rashad Bateman and Ty Johnson and, you know, some other complimentary pieces. And you had said that offense throws the ball a lot. Well, Morgan averaged 25 passes a game.
Yeah.
Brosmer's averaging 31. So they're throwing it a lot more than mm-hmm. what they did. And that just shows the level of PJ's trust in him. And if you go back to Saturday's game, where they have the huge lead late in the first half, they have the ball. I forget how much time was it, 30 seconds or whatever. Old PJ probably would have taken a knee and just gone to the locker room and said, you know what, that was a great first half. We're not going to do anything to kind of jeopardize that. He kept his foot on the pass. He said, I have a quarterback going against a Maryland secondary that's atrocious. They're terrible pass defense. But he knew that this quarterback could get him down the field, and they went and got three more points. And it just goes to show you that I think it's changed the way PJ manages the game.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Okay, so he's here and gone because it's 1 year.
Yeah.
Lindsey's the redshirt freshman. Maybe they go with him. Maybe they go with somebody else. Obviously, the kid you saw in Southern California, pure freshman. When we're at the same point last year, a year from now, excuse me, do you think, okay, this is Fleck, he's turned the page, or we need to see it at least for one more quarterback before we believe he's adapted to how most people are approaching offense in college football now?
Well, I think it's entirely dependent on what the quarterback shows him. And we've seen when he doesn't trust the quarterback and or receivers, he just shuts it down and goes into run mode. And part of that, yes, was because of Mo Ibrahim, and he could carry the ball 35 times a game, and they had ultimate trust in him. But a big part of that was because they didn't trust the passing game. And so if he has that kind of confidence in Lindsey or Pollock, whoever the, you know, the incoming freshman or whoever, whoever the guy might be, I would hope that this season is showing him that, you know what? Life is a lot easier when you have a quarterback that can pass the ball. And if you look around the conference right now, the teams that are really struggling, Iowa, Wisconsin, a number of these programs that don't have a quarterback that they can rely on, they're really struggling to move the ball and score points. And so I would hope that this is a sign of PJ willing to be flexible when he finds the right guy, and they have the right guy.
You're in Chicago with your wife and your daughter, so I doubt you're watching much of game one. And game two also was a very good game. But game one in a World Series was about as good as it could be. And I get it. It's not game six or seven. And every year on this time, we get to, okay, well, here's what Puck did. Here's what Jack Morris did. And it was a long, long time ago, by the way. But considering not just Freeman's home run, but that amazing part, but everything else that led to it, including the coverage of it, which was just spectacular.
Yeah.
It was one of those national sports moments that baseball, even in the World Series, they just don't get enough, and they had it on a Friday night.
Well, how often are you going to get fan interference on a home run and a grand slam walk-off?
Yes.
In a World Series game?
Right.
Talk about, like, if you're covering that on deadline, like, oh, my gosh. I was trying to follow it a little bit, bouncing around Chicago and on my phone. You know, the World Series should have the drama in the theater in itself, but when you get Freddie Freeman and everything he's gone through with his child and that family, yes. They come up there, first pitch, it's a grand slam walk-off.
Goes to his dad. With the
come
screen.
On. Yeah, his dad's pitching him batting practice growing up. I mean, like, that's a movie script, Chad. That's not a story. That's a movie script, right?
Yeah, that is good. You are a great human being, and you need to hear that again. You are universally liked for what you do, and most importantly, as a human. So have a fabulous, happy birthday, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, brother. Love you, man.
He is the best. Chip Scoggins. It's 29 past 2. Back to Dean Phillips' comments and where we're at with the race as we jump back into politics since we're 8 days out. Jason also join us before we turn it over to him in 3 on the home of the Twins, CCO.